This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you use this break to ponder over the discussion that we had just before the break, and that's the discussion surrounding the eighth principle of tazkiyah, and that is the principle which teaches us never to be amazed with ourselves. Never be amazed with ourselves. Understand, my dear brothers and sisters, that the right of Islam is to learn, and the right of learning is to act, and the right of acting is to become more humble. It was never a case that we acted, we engaged the purification process, and then we became pompous because of it. The right of acting is to be more humble. And this was a statement by our pious predecessors. And I pondered over the statement, and I looked in the Quran and the Sunnah, and to be honest, I found that which substantiated it. Because I looked at the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam to build the Kaaba. Now subhanAllah, pay attention, my dear brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. When we look at this particular event, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding a specific command to a specific group of people, or to specific people, to do a specific act in a specific place. Let's be honest, the Kaaba can only exist in Mecca, and Mecca is a specific place, and nobody else can build the Kaaba. It was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, meaning erected again by these two prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a specific command to specific people to do a specific act in a specific place. There's no competition here. Absolutely no competition. It's not like salah, where we have the ummah engaged in salah and there's a competition. We race towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And zakah and so on and so forth. This is a very specific act of worship. If anybody should have the right to become pomp about something which they've done, is Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam. But what happens, my dear brothers and sisters, after they build the Kaaba? They say, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. Subhanallah. They say, oh, our Lord, accept from us. Indeed, you are as-sami', you are the all-hearing, you hear our dua, and al-alim, the all-knowing, you know what we have done. This is what they say. They never became arrogant and pomp. They never said, we have achieved, and we have done, and we have reached. Rather, they became more humble. They acted, and they manifested the haqq and right of acting, which is to become more humble. Allahu Akbar. When we look in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see the hadith of Aisha, radiyallahu anha, in the month of Ramadan, after fasting the whole month, standing the nights in prayer, and she was very charitable, our mother, radiallahu anha. So she was excellent in charity. She was reading the Quran. She respected her husband. She had the happiness of her husband. All these amazing acts of worship. A whole month of being the best. And then she says to her husband, oh Prophet of Allah, if I witness the night of power, what should I ask for? What should I ask for? Now after doing all this, which one would say I should be proud of, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches her to say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. That, oh Allah, you love to efface sins. Efface my sins. Remove my sins. Forgive my sins. Allahu Akbar. Yani after engaging in ibadah for so long, no sins but ibadah. And I'm asking about, if I witness the night of power, what should I say? I should ask Allah to forgive me? It's as if, she is saying this. And the answer is yes. Ask Allah to forgive you. If this doesn't manifest how humbleness should be the way of a believer after practice, then I don't know what will, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. It is wrong for us to ever feel better than the next person. Yes, a person doesn't come to the masjid. Maybe they're weak with their salah. Our job is to invite them to Allah. Invite them to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our job is not to judge and say, I am better than him because. Because you know what, my dear brothers and sisters? We don't know if Allah has accepted our ibadah. We don't know if Allah is happy with us. And this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not giving us the knowledge of His happiness after we worship Him and engage Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is said that this was a statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, that he would say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَفَثْنَتَيْنِ فِثْنَتَيْنِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden two things in two things. Allahu Akbar. What are these two hidden matters? And what are these two things? Allah has hidden our knowledge of His happiness after we worship Him. He's kept that hidden. And He's hidden the knowledge of His awliya from amongst us. He's kept that hidden as well. Subhanallah. I pondered over the statement, Allahu Akbar, an amazing statement. May Allah gather us with the Sahaba in Jannah, Ameen. An amazing statement. He's saying Allah has kept the knowledge of His happiness after we worship Him hidden. Why, my dear brothers and sisters, so we continue looking after the rights of Allah. We continue striving looking after the rights of Allah. We never treat our relationship with Allah like a bank balance where there's credit, there's a debit, deposit and withdrawal. Right? That today we did good, so tomorrow we feel we can relax a little bit. We continue being diligent with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. He wants good for us and He created us and He knows us better than we know ourselves. So He's kept this hidden. And the wisdom behind it is so that we continue striving, not so that we become self-amazed and start feeling we've achieved and start claiming sainthood and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept knowledge of His awliya hidden from amidst us and amongst us. Why? So that we continue striving with the huquq al-ibad. We continue looking after the rights of the worshippers of Allah. We don't pick and choose who we want to be good to. We don't pick and choose who we want to help. We strive looking after the rights of the believers. And thus we assist ourselves in building a greater Jannah with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Allah has kept the knowledge of His awliya hidden. So that, my dear brothers and sisters, we don't pick and choose who we're good to. And we be good with everybody. And perhaps one day, we might be of service to someone who's from the awliya of Allah, who Allah has cited as a wali. And this person makes a dua for us. And that dua becomes the opening of our dunya and akhirah. Allahu Akbar. This is what Islam is about. It's about doing good, and when you do good, you do more good. About helping people, and when you help them, you help more people. Or you help that person more. You don't say, enough is enough. You don't say, I've done. You don't say, you know, you don't see yourself as the better person. And you don't see your hand as the upper hand. So remember this principle, my dear brothers and sisters. Never be self-amazed. Rather, after you do good, ask Allah to accept from you. Learn from the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam. Rather, when you do good, ask Allah to forgive you. Learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn from his teaching to his beloved wife Aisha radiallahu anha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. With this, my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the end of the principles. We discussed, walillahi alhamd, 8 principles. With regards to tazkiyah, I'm going to give you a quick run through them just to refresh your memories. And for those who missed it, then alhamdulillah, at least you have cursory information pertaining to the principles that I discussed during this particular program. The first principle we discussed is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the purifier. And the second principle we discussed is that for tazkiyah to come into our life, we need to start with dua. We need to start by supplicating and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify us. The third principle we discussed is that the book of tazkiyah is the Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth principle we discussed is that the leader in tazkiyah is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should only be engaging the purification process through following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fifth principle we discussed is that a tazkiyah constitutes two things. The first thing is at-takhliyah and the other is at-tahliyah, which is self-rectification as well as development. So first we purify the surface, we purify ourselves, and then we polish it and develop it further. The sixth principle that we discussed is called ighlaq al-manafidh or closing the avenues that cause retrogression to enter our life. The seventh principle we discussed in terms of tazkiyah is remembering death and our standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last but not least, the eighth principle is to stay away from self-amazement, or this concept of ujub and ta'ajjub, to be amazed by one's actions, amazed by oneself, amazed by one's processes and so on and so forth. Rather, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become more humble, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy for me to share. The discussion on tazkiyah, as I said from the outset, is vast. It's an ocean with no coast, really. But I've shared with you, inshallah, that which gives us an understanding of what tazkiyah is and what it isn't, and how we can, inshallah, bring tazkiyah into our lives. Before I end, my dear brothers and sisters, I just want to share with you three points that are probably pressing points that we can concentrate on that will help us become purified sooner rather than later. And these points have been cited by our scholars throughout several centuries. And these three points are, number one, to avoid excess in anything that you do. Don't oversleep, and do not overeat, and do not socialize or overly socialize. Do not exercise too much. Do not work too much, right? Everything should be in the balance. Our time with our families must be balanced. Our time exercising should be balanced. Our time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be balanced. Our time resting should be balanced. Our time eating should be balanced. This is important. And our scholars cite a principle, and they say, إِذَا زَادَ شَيْءٌ حَدِّهِ إِنْقَلَبَ عَلَى ضِدِّهِ. That if something crosses its boundary, something good crosses its boundary, it becomes negative. Sleeping is good, but if you oversleep, it has retrogressive results to the self. Socializing is good. If you over-socialize, it has retrogressive results to the self. Eating is good. If you overeat, it has retrogressive results to the self. Laughing is good. If you over-laugh, it has retrogressive results to the self. So be aware of this, my dear brothers and sisters. The second point is restrict your glances. Restrict your glances. Now, when I say restrict your glances, I mean look at that which is halal and avoid looking at that which is haram. But I also mean, and this is what I really mean when I say this point, is restrict your glances, meaning make sure you tie whatever you see to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or make sure you witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that you see. This helps the purification process. Never see something beautiful and say, wow, that's beautiful. But rather say, Subhanalladhi awjada hadha shay al-jamil, for example, meaning glory be to Allah who created this beautiful thing. This is the way of a believer. They witness Allah in everything that they see. So take heed about this particular point as well. And last but not least, fix your friend circles, my dear brothers and sisters. Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that we are upon the way of our friends. Let's ensure we have a friend circle that remembers Allah much, remembers the Akhirah much, not a friend circle that lives for the dunya with the waking of every day and the sleeping of every night. Now, I'm not saying start feeling you better than your friends, no, right? We discussed this earlier. But what I'm saying is do that which is necessary to help you progress. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Brothers and sisters, this brings us to the end of our short series. I love you all for the sake of Allah. I thank you all for allowing me to be a guest in your home. I pray I was a worthy one. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. I ask Allah to purify us. I ask Allah to gather us, both physically and virtually, many a time in this dunya, so we can learn together from the inheritance left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us underneath His arsh on the day of Qiyamah, because I hope that you love me as well for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that there is a place under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who love each other for Allah's sake. May Allah accept from us. May Allah cause us to die only when He's pleased with us and He's forgiven us. May Allah grant us a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May Allah grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. And may Allah make us neighbors to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Indeed, we have good hope in Allah. And indeed, Allah is upon all able. My dear brothers and sisters, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.